Welcome to episode number 19 of Relax RV. Hi, my name is Paul. I'm doing a podcast on stress while RVing. And I know none of you have ever experienced anything stressful while RVing. Well, perhaps a little bit. Now, stress means different things to different people, and what stresses one person out may just make another person laugh. And for that, I'm jealous. So let's talk about stress and RVing. So welcome back to Relax RV. This is being recorded and hopefully released on March 2nd, 2019. For all you new listeners out there, I'm Paul Sebastian, a retired nurse, stress management consultant, and RVer for about a year now. So, let's jump right in. It looks like most podcasters divide their shows, or some podcasters divide their shows into seasons. So I thought about it. This will be episode 19, and they were all recorded in the first year of my podcasting. The first episode was released just under a year ago, so this will be the last episode of season one, and the next episode, I guess, at the end of March, early April, will be the first episode in season two. So where did I leave you off with? The RV furnace. So we talked to our local mechanic here in the Hudson Valley in New York, and RV mechanic, and he said it doesn't make sense for that furnace blower motor to be worn out already. He said even though the quality of stuff in RVs isn't great, he said in his experience, it shouldn't have blown out that quick or worn out that quick. So he gave me some suggestions on tightening things up and checking for vibrations, and really haven't been able to find it, the cause of that noise. So that's still up in the air. We were planning on going over to or up to Old Forge in the Adirondacks of New York with a couple of buddies of mine. And we were going to go snowmobile, and we were going to rent snowmobiles. And they changed their minds. It's expensive. To rent a snowmobile up there for a weekend is over $500, near $600. It's a lot of money. So they changed their mind. They didn't want to spend that kind of money. And I didn't feel like going up there by myself and snowmobiling by myself. So canceled that trip. We'll take that near $1,000 for the campground, snowmobile, meals. We'll roll that into our next trip this coming summer. Talk more about that in a little while. So I do like winter, and I do like being outside. And the cold is getting a little tough for me. Part of it, I'm getting a little older, but that ain't it. Going to a doctor, and he believes I may have Raynaud's disease, which is pretty disappointing. In the past, I've done backpacking in the winter in the Adirondacks at 20 below zero. The coldest night was 40 below zero. And the last time I did a winter backpacking trip was 2 years ago, and I got frost nip on my finger. and wasn't happy. And it was only about 5 below 0, maybe even 10 below. So I do have some sort of a circulatory issue going on. Getting the frost nip scared me. I thought maybe it was going to be a frostbite, but it wasn't, thank God. So my body can't tolerate the cold as well. So I guess as we get older, got to readjust, and be flexible. Otherwise, you just end up being miserable. So in life, find your passion. Find what you like to do. So, not spending as much time outside in the winter here in New York. We've had a cold snap and then a warm snap and then a cold snap. So, I got into woodworking and making birch lamps and coasters and cutting bottles and all kinds of things. But my shop is outside in the garage with no heat. So on the bitter cold days, I don't do that. We do try to walk 4 or 5 days a week. And we walk through town for an average of maybe 2 hours. So probably about 5 miles or so. Maybe 6 miles. So that feels good. It feels good to be active. So find something that you like to do in the downtime. If you're full-timing, you're not on vacation all the time, and every day is not a vacation. That's what I'm told about full-timing. So you gotta find something, find a hobby, crafting, making jewelry. So one of my other passions, one of the things I like to do is helping people. I've talked about that in the past. I used to work at Letchworth Village doing consulting work on the side. I taught hypnosis and stress management at Orange County Community College in Middletown, New York for a few years, and as an evening teacher. But if you're doing what you love, no matter what it is, working with wood, walking, snowmobiling, working at a part-time job, volunteering. If you're doing what you love, it definitely ain't work. I've often said that I worked for New York State for 37 years, and in those 37 years, it felt like I worked maybe, 20 days or so, and I'm sure my memory fails me. But the point is, there was many, many days where I felt like I wasn't working because I was enjoying what I was doing so much, helping others, helping those with needs. So last summer we did a 4-month trip, which I had talked about, over to Montana and back. And I met a retired social worker on the road, and we started talking about work and being away from work. And at that time, I was just really starting to miss helping others. And so I said, do you miss working? Do you miss helping people as a social worker? And he said, I did at the beginning, but after the first year or so, I crossed that hump and I don't look back. And don't worry, you'll get over it. You'll get over the need to help people. And I said to him, well, it's not really a need, I just like it. It's an enjoyment to me. And he said, you'll get over that. And in my mind, I said, no, I don't want to. So here I am back home waiting for our next trip. And I'm doing consulting work at a special ed school with autistic kids, working with the staff. I teach medication class to an agency in New York for the direct care staff who pass meds to the individuals who they care for. I do stress management with a client of mine that I've worked with for many, many years, and I'm back working with him. So it feels good to be back in it, and it's even better now because it's not a 9-to-5 job. I can pick and choose pretty much when I want to work. Of course, it's on their schedule also, but at least I don't have to go and have to be there. There's a snowstorm. It's tough being a nurse that way. You get a blizzard. New York got hit with a blizzard in 1996 in April. And I was at work for 3 solid days, 72 hours. I was the only nurse on duty in Orange County, New York, for our agency for those 3 days. So I was very busy triaging over the phone and problem solving over the phone and caring for the 24 folks that lived in the group home where I was working. And so I don't miss having to be there. So I found a nice median here. It's nice being able to help, and it's not urgent that I do it every day. So for me, this is perfect. When you get paid to do what your passion is, your life is sublime. If you work in a job that you don't like, spending the majority of your waking hours not being happy. The only thing you do in life more than work is sleep. If you sleep for 6 to 8 hours a night and you work 40 hours a week, the majority of your waking hours is work. Do what you love, whatever it is. So the other thing I've been spending time with is cleaning up and organizing pictures from our 4 month trip. We started off with, I think, about 4,000 pictures. It's about 1,000 pictures a month, 250 pictures a week. We came back, we picked out all the terrible shots because that was easy, and got rid of a bunch, probably about half of them, maybe even three quarters. And we ended up with probably a little over 1,000 pictures. And from there, we went through those and we picked out the creme de la creme, the best of them. So we ended up with a little over 500 pictures of our favorites. So I have a little photo frame, electronic photo frame, where I can load my pictures onto the screen and watch a slideshow of those 500 pictures. And it's really nice, reflecting back. I'm just looking at a picture now from Starved Rock State Park, and what a wonderful place. And they had a machine, a trailer from a truck, where it kind of looked like an ATM, and you could deposit your cash or credit card and buy a bundle of firewood. So you put your card in, you selected how many bundles, and paid, and then all of a sudden you heard a big bang inside of it, and you opened up the door that which had been locked. It's now unlocked, and you reach in and you take your firewood. It's a pretty cool system. First and only time we've seen something like that. It was neat. When we were out in Yellowstone, we were staying in the National Forest just outside of West Yellowstone entrance. And it was late September. They were getting ready to close, or yeah, I guess like mid to late September, I forget. And they were getting ready to close for the season, so the camp hosts, which were complaining about their jobs, had a bunch of firewood they were trying to get rid of. So when I asked them to buy a bundle, they threw me like three. So that was pretty cool. I remember when we were over by Notre Dame and we were staying at a Boondockers and walking through the neighborhood and saw a garage sale, and I went over and there was a guy, he had a bundle of firewood and he had a sign on it, free. I said, "Really? You just want to get rid of this?" He says, "Yep." So I picked it up. He says, "Well, if you want more, I have a bunch of stuff that you could use for kindling, cut up pine boards and stuff." I said, "Sure." And walked away with a bunch of firewood for free. It's nice, when people do nice things and you're the recipient. And it's also really nice when you're the doer of the good thing and you can see that you're helping somebody or make them feel better. And I like that. So, out of all those pictures, I'm organizing them or have them organized into places or dates. So Yellowstone, we were there for about a week, and I think we have four folders of photos. So Glacier, we were there for a week, and I have three or four folders of pictures from Glacier. So as I'm cleaning up the photos, making them look a little bit sharper, and it was tough traveling across country last summer. We got into South Dakota and we thought it was hazy, as I talked about, and it turned out to be the smoke from the fires out in California and Montana. And when you're trying to take landscape pictures and the mountains are covered in smoke, it's a little bit of a challenge. But it made it more real when you look at the pictures, you remember the smoke and all of that. So I have a EOS, a Canon camera, and a DSLR that I talked about. And I'd gotten, I don't know if it was smoke, dirt, dust, something on the inside of the camera, and to clean off, there's like a reflector in there, and I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about, know the name, and others are saying, "What are you talking about?" Anyway, inside the camera, you can push a button, it opens it up to clean it, and I sprayed cleaner on the inside to clean it. I then found out you shouldn't do that. So I lost my focal points, places you can look through your lens finder, viewfinder, so you can focus on different things, and they were gone. So, quite a few of my photos after that were out of focus a little bit. And that was an expensive lesson to learn. It cost a couple $100 to get it fixed. So, looking at this podcast, it's really taken off. February, the shortest month of the year, I had the most downloads of any month in the past year. 183 listens to the podcast, either live streaming or downloads. That ain't bad, 183. I remember when I first started on this trip and I was happy that I had 40 downloads after, I don't know, four or five podcasts. So it's really taken off and it's nice. So it's almost a year now. And I've had just under 1,000 listens or downloads in the past year. When I first started this, I said, wow, when I reach 1,000, that'd be pretty cool. And I wonder if I get to 1,000 before the first year. And right now I'm at like 933 or something like that. So I'm getting really close. I'm sure with this episode, I'll be over that 1,000 mark. Pretty cool. So before we went on our first trip, a year plus ago, a year and 3 months ago, with the RV, we were talking to a lady at a gas station, and she said that she had an RV, and she asked if I knew what RV stood for, and she said that you can skip this part if you want. She said it's RV stands for Ruined Vacation. And I said, oh my God, that's terrible. So it dawned on me the other day that RV really stands for my relaxed vehicle, or the vehicle to relax in. So, talking of podcasts, I do listen to a bunch of other podcasts about RVing, and I'll share them with you. That's my phone. I had a missed call from a spam caller, robo caller. I don't understand the points of those phone calls. Anyway, so the podcast I listen to, one is a couple in the northern US called the RV Navigator. Ken and Martha. Ken's really into technology, and the two of them do a lot of cruises, and they also have a large Class A diesel that they do travel around in. And I enjoy their podcasts. They do it together, husband and wife, and it's fun. That was probably one of the earlier ones that I came across. The next one is the RV podcast. It used to be called the Road Trekking podcast. They travel around in a Class B, and even though he said that they focus their podcast on all types of RVing, if you listen to his early episodes, he talks about being in the canyons in a campground with his Class B in between two Class A's. And so, but they travel around. He does it more as a business. There's a lot of commercials. I would say half of his show or so is commercials. And so now that Road Trek is defunct, I guess they got into some financial problems in the US. They sold the European section over to Thor, which is now the biggest RV manufacturer in the world. So I guess they're looking for another RV now to get away from the Road Trek. And so they changed their name to the RV Podcast. So you can check them out. Husband and wife, and he does a lot of YouTube stuff, and good conversation, good interviews, some good information out there. Another podcast I listen to is a Campground of the Week and RV Family Travel, two separate podcasts. So one they do a review of a campground, the other one they travel around with their sons and they talk about all the travels, and they too do a lot of advertising. I would say about a third of their podcast is ads. So I just fast forward through the ads. Another podcast. So the Road Trek podcast, going back to that one, the RV podcast, that was the first one, first podcast that I listened to about RVing, and apparently I listened to it, the first episode, about 3 days after it was released, so I was probably one of the first listeners, so that's pretty cool. So the next one is Living the RV Dream. Used to be a husband and wife, and as they got older, they stopped RVing, came off the road, and they passed the podcast over to Robert down in Miami. He's taken the podcast in a totally different way. I kind of miss the older Living the RV Dream. But things change in life. And I do enjoy listening to his version of the podcast. He travels around pulling a trailer, a camper. There's Radio Arizona RV. And they recently moved last summer to Montana. These are the folks I bought my topper when it ripped. I stopped in their store just because I drove past it. Didn't know it was their shop. Bought a topper from them for the slide, and I'll tell you what, that topper is probably four times as thick, five times as thick as the original. And so he talks about a lot of RV maintenance on his podcast. That's pretty cool. There's RV Talk Radio. He's an interesting fellow. He's very opinionated, and even though he says he's not, he's out in Arizona for the winters and travels around. He was full-timing for a little while, and his wife went back to work, and so that's a interesting one. And then there's In the Field Camping. This guy has a little tag-along, you know, camper, and he goes to campgrounds, you know, mainly out in Colorado, I think. He records solo, kind of like what I do, so monologue. He only records when he's camping, so once the winter comes, he doesn't put out any episodes, and in the spring, he starts up again. And even though he mainly talks about, you know, the campgrounds out there, he's interesting. I like his format, and after listening to him a little over a year ago, I found him. That's when I decided I'm going to do a podcast. So those are podcasts that I listen to. I subscribe to, download, and all that. So, if you feel like it, take a look. If you don't worry about it. So, last summer, looking through the calendar, and I was totaling up different places where we stayed. And we belong to the group called Boondockers Welcome. They charge, I think, $30 a year to join. If you open up your home to let people boondock in your driveway or on your property, you get a free membership as long as people use you. Otherwise, you pay $30 a year. And we stayed in a 4 month trip, we stayed 28 days or 28 nights at Boondockers Welcome's places. Some of them had electric, which we needed with the air conditioning. Some of them, one had a sewer dump, a bunch had water. One gentleman offered to, which I had talked about, rip apart my carburetor on my generator when that stopped working. And he said, if you can stay an extra night, tomorrow we'll rip apart your carburetor and clean it out, see if that'll get it going. We stayed at a pig roaster. He made a smoked turkey breast for us. We stayed at a up in Canada at a Boondockers Welcome in the guy's driveway. He brought by cherries from his dad's orchard, big bucket of them, left them for us. And then as we were walking around town, we got past the first house, and there was a couple sitting on their porch with a glass of wine. And we said, "Nice night for that." And they said, "Yes, it is. And why don't you come on up and join us?" And we sat on their front porch for, I think, 2 or 3 hours talking. And it's a nice way to travel, and get to meet unusual people, especially when you're staying on their property. I guess it's a little bit more intimate that way. Nice conversation. We stayed on some tree farms. We stayed, boy, a lot of different places. Boondockers Welcome. Check them out. The next most popular stay for us was Harvest Hosts. This one's a little bit more expensive. You pay for a year. And I forget what they're up to now. I think like $60 or $70 a year. And you can stay at wineries, breweries, museums, golf courses. And so on that 4 month trip, we had 12 nights of staying with various harvest hosts. It's neat. You get to sample, not for free, wines from around the country, or beers from around the country, or museums that you normally wouldn't go to. The expectation is that you drop a little bit of money while you're there. So we started out at Harvest Hosts, and we would, feel bad. We're staying there for free. So we would buy a bottle or two of wine, and then we would leave and say, "Wow, that free night just cost us $30." So what we started doing towards the end was, if we really liked the wine, we would definitely buy a bottle, because we do enjoy our glass of wine. But for the most part, we'll do samples, and some of them are free samples. Some of them, are $10 for five tastings, so it varies. But you stay in another winery; it's pretty cool. I do have at relaxrv.org, my website. I talked about that I might get rid of, and I really got to do something. It's up for renewal, and still on the fence on what to do. And what I've learned in life is, don't rush into a decision. So probably what I'll do is renew for another year. It's like $100 a year to keep the website running. I post links to some of my pictures on my website, and the pictures are all over on my Facebook page, Relax RV. If you're on Facebook, look me up, like me, follow along, and you can follow my travels there too. See some of these pictures I'm talking about. Some of them are unreal. So if you go to relaxrv.org, you'll see a discount code. It'll save you 15% when you when you use that link and join Harvest Hosts. I get a little bit back, but the bigger thing is, you guys save 15%, and why not, right? So we spent 6 nights in Walmarts, some good, some not so good, some noisy, some not so bad at all. We stayed a couple nights at Cabela's. A lot of trucks at the Cabela's, as I remember. We're out in Billings, Montana. Cracker Barrels. We stayed 3 or 4 nights in Cracker Barrels. Probably 4 or 5 nights in Cracker Barrels. And we tended to find them quieter than Walmart's. We spent 5 nights at Cummings when our generator was being repaired. They had full hookups. Well, no, they didn't. I just told a fib. They had electric that we could plug into, a 20 amp, so we could run our air conditioner if we needed to. And when they finally fixed the generator, we asked them if we could spend the extra night there the next night so that we didn't have to hit the road at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, "Of course, don't worry about it. Stay there." So it was nice. We found that if we're really careful in our rig, when we're plugged into 15 amp, which we did at some of the boondockers, we could run our air conditioner on the 15 amps just as long as we did not use anything else at the same time. So no lights, no nothing. So the rule of thumb for boondockers is if you run your air conditioner, you should offer a stipend or a stipend. Throw them like $5 or $10 for the use. We offered it to a bunch of different boondockers, and everybody declined the money. But it was nice to make that offer. We stayed 3 nights at Thor with full hookup, 30 amp, 50 amp sewer. Thor, what a mess. Mess of a company. You can listen back to episode, I think, I don't know, 10, somewhere around there, with our experience at Thor. Maybe 12, episode 12, I don't know. And we did have good sand, the extended coverage plan, extended warranty, and we made a claim with them for Cummings. We made a claim for them after Thor, and after those two claims, we canceled our membership. And I talk about that on episode 12. But I digress. We also stayed at Cabela's for a couple of nights, and they were nice. So there you go. That's where we stayed last summer. We went to a local RV show in Rockland County, New York, at the old, well, the old college, at my old college, one of my old colleges. So we went last month, and we noticed some of the newer RVs had ceiling fans. So we're toying with the idea. We have a fantastic fan in our bedroom. We took out the roof vent and put in a fantastic fan, and then we put in a cover over that to keep the rain off of the sensor so it shut off and closed down on a muggy night. So anyway, we're talking about getting some sort of a fan like that for the living room. Max Air has another one, a little bit more money, but they have better ratings. And for me, I watch the ratings. So we're thinking about that, and then we saw these ceiling fans. And we're toying with the idea of putting a ceiling fan, probably a 12 volt, run it off the batteries. We have three 100 amp batteries, so we have 300 amps and 800 watts of solar up on the roof, and a charge controller and an inverter. We used our solar and our batteries a lot this past summer, with the heat and all of that. And we have AGM batteries, but we brought them down way below where you should a bunch of nights. So I think we pretty much, destroyed those batteries, but we'll figure that out at another time. They're still up and running. We can still do things with our batteries, with the solar, only if it's sun shining. So we are looking at the possibility of a ceiling fan or a max air fan. The fantastic fan in our bedroom, the end of the summer, early fall last year, is sort of making a squeaking noise. So when you're trying to sleep and it's right over your bed and you're doesn't make for a restful night. So I contacted the company. I believe Dometic makes fantastic fans. Told them our demise, and they shipped us a replacement motor for free. So once it warms up, I'll get up on the roof, open up the roof vent, and replace that fans. See how long this motor lasts. So we're home for another 2+ months or so, and then we'll be hitting the road. We're really getting the itch to hit the road. So we'll see what the next month brings in the RV world. So drop me an email. Let me know what you think of the podcast or any thoughts. If you have any stress, maybe I can give you some advice. So my website, relaxrv.org, my email, relaxrv@hotmail.com, and on Facebook, relaxrv. See the pattern there? I'm a smart cookie. Alright, well, until next time, safe travels, be well, and laugh. Laugh is good medicine. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.